Some borough officers visit Excursion Inlet, and meetings kick off around the region on the Southeast Transportation Plan. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. Excursion Inlet is on the far southern edge of the Haynesboro. Easy to forget it's even part of the borough, or that decisions made in Haynes affect a handful of residents there. But on Monday, the borough mayor, manager, chief fiscal officer, and harbor master went for a visit. It was manager Dave Sosa's first visit to Excursion Inlet. He said the first part of the day focused on visiting the Ocean Beauty Cannery, the biggest employer in infrastructure in the community, and the industry that supplies the borough with a hefty revenue stream through fish tax. Last year, Ocean Beauty ran into trouble with using more water than it was permitted for from the state to operate the cannery. The company is asking the borough for an easement to access more water resources. And the borough is studying the possibility of a hydro project in Excursion Inlet to serve the community and cannery with more affordable power. Sosa said Ocean Beauty representatives Tom Marshall and Mike Forbush also explained some concerns they have with the condition of a bridge that carries a water main line from a reservoir to the cannery. Sosa said the borough is continuing discussions about the bridge condition and the easement with the company.
Yeah, the first I'd heard about the easement is when we went there. So I sat down with members of staff from planning and assessing, and they're going to get in touch with Ocean Beauty because we have to get the specifics on where the property is, what's the impact associated with it, and what's the requirement for Ocean Beauty. We've done these things with other entities before, so it should be a fairly straightforward process as we look at it, and then we just have to make a determination on whether or not we want to approve the easement.
The borough officials also met with Excursion Inlet residents. He said there were a few year-round residents and a few seasonal ones. They brought up issues with some of the infrastructures in the community, he said.
They were mainly focused on the dock area and two bridges that they had some concern about, so we went and took a look at those.
There are more landowners than residents in Excursion Inlet. The borough has registered 95 landowners and 119 parcels of land in the community, including Ward's Cove Packing Company, which operates as Ocean Beauty Seafoods, and a few fishing lodges. Sosa says it was interesting getting the perspective of the residents.
As part of the conversation we had with the residents there, they live there for a reason because they want to be away from everything. They want, and not just be away from not really be it, just be away from people, but they want to live a more remote lifestyle. They don't want to be necessarily dependent on the resources provided by our community. So people make a very clear choice when they go to someplace like that. So it's really interesting meeting them and getting their perspective on why they live there.
Many services in the community are provided by Ocean Beauty, like operation of the local store, which is open to residents. The cannery also provides garbage, fuel, freight, and airport maintenance to the community. So it's in the borough's interest to collaborate with the company. Sosa says the trip provided him insight into the commercial fishing industry from the perspective of the processor.
It was a really good look at a big industry for something, a place like Haynes. And it was, just from a business perspective and looking at their model and looking at their approach to, every aspect of the business, it was a learning experience.
Besides Sosa, Mayor Stephanie Scott, Fiscal Officer Gila Stewart, and Harbor Master Phil Benner, State Representative Sam Keto joined the group in Excursion Inlet on Monday. New Sea Alaska CEO Anthony Malott says part of the Juneau-based regional Native corporation's strategy for reversing recent losses will be to do business closer to home.
Very likely within the 6 months, you will see significant investments by Sea Alaska in Southeast or within industries that are heavily represented in Southeast Alaska.
Malott told the Juneau Chamber of Commerce recently that Sea Alaska wants to provide economic opportunities and jobs for its nearly 22,000 shareholders. Most live in Southeast and the Pacific Northwest. The corporation has sold some of its business interests in areas like Florida, Mexico, and Alabama. Malott says it now has a $100 million investment fund and a $65 million fund for acquisitions.
So what we've done to transition is to load up effectively dry powder and bring on some people that know how to do mergers and acquisitions and know what we want to look like as a corporation 5-10 years from now and start making those acquisitions.
While jobs for shareholders will be important, Milat says the number one priority will be to invest in profitable enterprises. In 2013, Sea Alaska businesses lost about $57 million. That shrunk to $35 million due to revenue from investments and natural resource earnings shared by all Native corporations. Milat believes Congress is poised to pass legislation completing Sea Alaska's land entitlement under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. The long-awaited measure would transfer up to 80,000 acres of the Tongass National Forest to the corporation, providing a boon to Sea Alaska's timber businesses. Milat took over as CEO at Sea Alaska's annual meeting in June. Planners with the Alaska Department of Transportation fielded questions from a packed house of skeptical residents from Petersburg and Kuprinoff last week. The DOT officials were vetting a draft of the state's latest plan for transportation for Southeast. Local residents were concerned with a loss of ferry service. They also faulted the plan's focus on construction of new roads while existing pavement goes unmaintained. It was the first of a series of meetings taking place on the transportation plan across Southeast. Joe Vicnicki reports.
The Department of Transportation's document outlines priorities over the next two decades. The most recent Southeast Alaska Transportation Plan came out 10 years ago. DOT Highway Planner Marie Heidemann explained the need for an update.
You know, the purpose of the plan is, you know, partly because we need to meet requirements. We need to meet federal requirements. We also need to fulfill the requirement for an Alaska Marine Highway System long-range plan. But more important than that, we need to every so often revisit what are the current trends that are happening in the region. What are the current priorities and projects of the state? We need to look at that, look at the trends, and use those to guide how we want the transportation system to look.
One of the trends the DOT has identified is an excess of capacity on the state's ferry system. Southeast Region Planning Chief Andy Hughes said ridership has not risen despite relatively stable fares.
We've added vessels, we've added frequency of service, and we're moving less people, in spite of the fact that when you consider that we haven't really raised our fares much over the period. And when you keep fares nearly level, that in effect means you're actually reducing the fare relative to people's income.
Hughes said the Marine Highway could retire a ferry and still have enough capacity for the current demand. The plan recommends doing just that with the older mainline ships. Those are the vessels that connect Southeast Alaska communities to Bellingham, Washington, or Prince Rupert, British Columbia. The plan recommends replacing or retiring the Malaspina, Matanuska, and Taku by the year 2024. Two Alaska-class ferries would be taking up service in Lynn Canal, and one new mainline ferry could be built for an estimated $226 million. Commenters focused on scheduling for the state ferry system and thought the state's estimates for demand were not accurate. Stephen Samuelson thought the system's ridership numbers are faulty because of poor scheduling and redundant service.
And the reason being is because I watched the Malaspina run up Lynn Canal or even come through here, and then an hour later you watch Matanuska go right behind it.
Samuelson explained he's seen people crowd onto the first ferry through while the second boat just behind remains empty. Much of the focus at the meeting in Petersburg was on a road project included in the plan. The state has appropriated $40 million for a road across Kuprinoff Island. If that one-lane road is built along with a shuttle ferry across the Wrangell Narrows, it would allow motorists to drive between Cake and Petersburg. Hughes said planners would be surveying residents of Cake and Petersburg to find out why they travel outside the two communities. That information will become part of the environmental review for the Cake Road project, which is being jointly compiled by the Federal Highway Administration and the state DOT. A draft environmental document could be out in 2016. Local residents questioned Hughes about the level of maintenance and snow removal plan for that proposed road and costs for law enforcement. Others wondered why the road money could not be spent on a power connection to bring cheap hydroelectricity to Cake. Here's Nicole McMurrin.
It seems like that poor community has been held captive for power since I moved to Southeast Alaska 25 years ago. And there's just seemingly some very, there's, it seems to be an assumption by the state that roads good, ferry bad.
The draft plan also recommends a major road project out of the capital city that's intended to shorten the ferry route times in Lynn Canal. It also recommends a road and tunnel from Sitka across Baranof Island to a proposed ferry terminal at Warm Springs Bay. That option would allow the state to end direct ferry service to downtown Sitka. The DOT planners also heard about the poor condition of existing state-owned roads here in Petersburg. Several are slated for pavement replacement over the next year, but that work has been delayed. The document can be viewed on the Department of Transportation's Southeast Region website. Comments are due in by September 30th. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicky.
Other meetings on the draft Southeast plan are scheduled this month in Ketchikan, Sitka, and Cake. Skagway will host a meeting on September 9th, and the last meeting will be in Haines on September 10th. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Joe Vicknicky for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.